Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. Our last college podcast of the year, probably, Aaron. Maybe we'll do one after the College World Series, but it's College World Series finals time. And you're headed for the end of your 2 weeks, 2 weeks in Omaha. So first of all, thanks for going all 2 weeks in Omaha for us. I know it's not easy to do, but hope you're having a good time.
Oh, I love the College World Series. It's a long couple of weeks, but it's a great couple of weeks. You know, I mean, this place is just special this time of year, and it's been a weird College World Series with the weather and the flooding and the new ballpark, and it hasn't had the same vibe as it had before, but it's still been very interesting.
I tell you, it seemed like the vibe this year really it was having. Last year's vibe was a weird vibe because it was the last year. And the old park, and then you had a couple of those days where the attendance was terrible, remember? Monday and Tuesday where there were like 10,000, 12,000 people there. And so last year was a strange vibe, and now this year, obviously the first time, a little bit different vibe. But on the field, we should have a great finals. Florida, preseason number one, end of the regular season number one, versus South Carolina, defending national champion. A team that's already beaten Florida in the regular season, a team that basically lost one series all year and had a bad SEC tournament, I guess, by their standards. They really had two bad weeks/weekends all year, and otherwise had just taken on all comers and beaten them. I mean, pretty impressive, two pretty impressive clubs all the way around.
To me, it's perfect. I mean, you've got, like you said, you've got preseason number one, postseason number one against the defending national champions, who've got a 14-game postseason winning streak. I mean, it's two juggernauts, really. It really is. I know South Carolina, on paper, you know, doesn't look like they're as intimidating. You know, the way Coach Tanner, I think, said it was, we haven't been a formidable team all year long, He likes to sandbag a little bit, but he's right. I mean, they're not a team that's going to go out and blow you out, but they win every close game in the late innings, it seems like.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, how did we get here? We got here by Florida beating Vanderbilt twice and beating Texas. And we have South Carolina that beat Texas A&M. And really, probably the best game of the College World Series because it was thrilling. There was one terrible inning, but both teams scored four runs. Each team scored four runs, I should say. And then you had some really good pitching, and then the ninth inning where South Carolina won that game in the bottom of the ninth on Scott Wingo's hit. And then they had their two victories against Virginia, which were one game where they pounced on Will Roberts, and then one game where Danny Hulson was dealing, and then that war of attrition that became Friday night. Let's talk about those two semifinal games, Aaron, on Friday, the bracket championships. Because Vanderbilt and Virginia, those were both winnable games for those two teams, and you had some questionable pitching moves by the two by all four head coaches, really. Let's start with the Florida Vanderbilt game. I guess my question was, did you get the feeling in that game that Kevin O'Sullivan was just getting Tommy Toledo and Nick Miranda and Greg Larson some work, or did he use those guys because he really thought that was his best way to win the game?
I think he did think it was his best chance to win the game. I mean, Kevin O'Sullivan has a lot of faith in his bullpen, and he's used six or seven guys back there pretty regularly. They've all gotten a lot of work, and I think that's one reason that I love the coaching job he's done this year. Is he's gotten, he's coached the whole season preparing for right now. He's used a lot of different guys in the bullpen in order to keep them all fresh, in order to keep his starters fresh. And those guys have really good arms. I think he trusts Tommy Toledo, and he trusts Greg Larson certainly, and Nick Miranda, and Vanderbilt, remember, is right left all the way through. So I think it helps if you can use a number of different arms and match up, I think it's good that Sully managed that game the way he's managed the whole season too. I mean, he got six innings out of his starter, which is what he really wanted, and then he turned it over to his bullpen, and usually that's worked for him this year. Friday it didn't, but they still found a way to win the game.
And then, of course, Vanderbilt, conversely, did not use its bullpen the way it has used its bullpen all year. Usually in a tie game in the eighth inning and Sonny Gray has gone 125 pitches, he's out. He comes out of the game. Tim Corbin's explanation of, well, he wanted the ball, I couldn't get the ball, that's bull. That's a good cover. I understand why head coaches say that. I'm not saying that Tim Corbin's, I'm not making any judgment on him saying that. I understand that's what you say in post game, but it just doesn't wash. You're the head coach. you take the ball from your pitcher's hands and you give it into your bullpen because that's what you've done all year when your pitcher's thrown 125 pitches and it's the eighth inning. So,
yeah, and you know, it's like I think we've talked about. It's not like Sonny Gray was dominating or cruising along. He'd given up something like 12 hits. There were multiple base runners aboard for almost every inning that he was out there, every inning but one, I think. You know, and he'd sat through a long top of the seventh and a long top of the eighth. You know, there was no reason to send him back out there for the bottom of the eighth when he's already sitting at 125 pitches. It didn't make sense, and we're not second guessing because we were all first guessing at the time.
Yeah, I think it cost them the game personally. I think they gave back every bit of momentum they had gained by tying the game by having Sonny go back out in the eighth, and he instantly wasn't sharp, and the defense fell apart, and it just was it was an ugly inning and a sad ending to the best season in Vanderbilt baseball history. You know, disappointing, and I'm sure for those players. Then you have the Virginia South Carolina game, Aaron, where the closers threw more pitches than the starting pitchers. So there hasn't been, first off, there hasn't been a subsequent explanation other than he was sick for Danny Hulson coming out of that game, correct?
That's right. And you know, but it was a very strange explanation because Brian O'Connor twice said that he didn't want to do anything that would put Danny Hulson's career in jeopardy long term. And you know, if a guy's pitching with a flu, that doesn't really make sense. You know, why would that be putting the guy's career in jeopardy just because he's a little under because he's under the weather? I mean, he was clearly
he was dealing. I mean,
he was dealing.
He was tremendous. I was shocked that he came out with the flu. I don't know what to say about it because I wasn't there. I would have asked. I would hope I would have asked some pointed questions. When your season's on the line, you're going to let your closer go more than 100 pitches, throwing a lot of sliders.
Yeah, and you know, O'Connor was pressed about that in the post game. He was pressed for clarification, and he just said, you know, he wasn't feeling well. I wasn't going to put his career in jeopardy, which just, again, doesn't make sense to me. But we had some reports of people who saw Hulson kind of clenching and unclenching his left wrist or left fingers, which is kind of a strange thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to speculate about what it was. I hope it's nothing serious, no arm-related things, but it was very very unusual.
If it was arm-related, I don't think it would have been striking out seven guys in three innings. He was just – his stuff was top-grade Danny Hulson stuff.
It was as good as it's ever been. And, you know, I talked to Andy Flettergeon, the Virginia SID, because I said that's the best I'd ever seen Hulson in probably, you know, 10 times over the last 3 years. And he said, I think that's the best I've ever seen him too. And he's seen every Hulson start. So his stuff was unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when you're sick, you focus a little bit better. And you focus on the task at hand and you don't waste any energy. So I thought it was very curious for Virginia to bring him out of that game. Obviously, that we've kind of said everything we can on that. Then you are going to jeopardize somebody when you stretch somebody out to more than 100 pitches who's never done that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Brendan Klein, they've talked about starting him, but has he ever been extended as he was extended on Friday?
Well, yeah, as a freshman, he served as their midweek starter for a chunk of the year. But, you know, that was as a freshman. He has not started at all this year. So, you know, I'm not really sure what the longest he went this year was. It certainly wasn't 100 pitches over five or so innings, but that one, you know, that's a tricky one. I mean, both those guys, you know, they could start. There's no question about it. Klein and Price could be starters, and a lot
Correct.
Of people like both those guys as starters in pro ball. But the fact is, they haven't been extended all year long, and I'm not sure if it's such a good thing for them to be extended that far, you know, once at the end of the year.
And I agree with you. And here's my theory on why that's such a tough one. And you might, you know, when the series is over and you have some time, you might ask a couple of the coaches about this one, or you might even email some of the coaches who've been in Omaha about this one. This will be a working point for me going forward. I think the schedule in the College World Series works against bullpens. It helps you set up your starting pitching more, but I think it hurts – the way coaches are used to using their bullpens, and it makes it harder to manage your bullpens because of all the extra days off. And that's why I think Sully, yeah, he thought that was going to give him a better chance to win, but why did he use Toledo specifically? He was getting Toledo some work as opposed to putting in Nick Mirande to start that seventh inning. Yeah, he wanted to bring in a right-hander and all that stuff, but he didn't go right, left, right, left. You know, he has six or seven guys. he was getting Tommy Toledo work, and he was getting – then things started to get away from him, so he just was trying to win the game. Austin Maddox was going to pitch in that game no matter what because they needed to get him some work in Omaha before he got to the finals. And I think the reason that coaches do that is because the schedule is so spread out. Unless you're in the loser's bracket, you don't play back-to-back games. And we saw that work to the advantage of a pitching staff with some depth in Oregon State's runs. You know, in 06 and 07, they had to go to Daniel Turpin, you know, because they had no other choice. It worked, it worked to South Carolina's advantage last year. They had to go to Michael Roth. They had no other choice. They discovered a star, you know. But when you don't have to do that, it shrinks your bullpen.
Right.
Vanderbilt the other day, for example, if that game had gone to extra innings, they were never going to bring in their saves leader. Navery Moore was buried. He was done. He lost a little stuff. He hadn't pitched since regionals.
You know, I think he was hurt, too. I mean,
that's very possible. But who else?
That out there.
That's very possible, too. Who else were they going to possibly use? Florida, Florida gets to the finals and they had not used and Larson had thrown to one batter, and Toledo had not worked the entire Caldwell series. Were they going to go to those guys in the finals, do you think? You think with a national championship on the line, they'd use somebody whom they had not used for 2 weeks? I think that's what happened with both South Carolina and Virginia. They did not have another pitcher who'd gotten enough work that they trusted with their season on the line. And for South Carolina, even though their season was not on the line, the only relievers – I guess they'd use Mata for an inning, I think, in the Super Regional. If not in the Super Regional, it was in the Regional.
Right.
And Webb for maybe a batter or two. But otherwise, it's been Taylor and Price. So they've, because of the schedule and because of their own success, their bullpen is a two-man bullpen.
Right.
I mean, so I'm not blaming the coaches. I'm not absolving the coaches of blame. But I'm just saying the way the schedule gets set up, in my opinion, Aaron – serves to shrink the bullpens for these teams because it's just harder for these coaches with so much on the line for them to go to a pitcher who has not thrown in a real game in a week, 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. What do you think of that theory?
I think it's pretty spot on. And, you know, there's also this idea that you should go to your best guy and ride him when you get to Omaha, especially if he's rested.
Right.
And, you know, it worked so often. It worked for South Carolina last year with Matt Price, even though they did use more guys. They certainly rode Matt Price hard, and it's worked. I mean, how many times have we seen closers come out of the bullpen and just give these 4-5-inning relief outings? I mean, Andrew Kerrigan comes to mind.
Yes.
Kevin Gunderson comes to mind.
Absolutely.
You know, I bet Houston Street's done it. I mean, it's something you see all the time out here.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt. And, I'm not absolving the coaches. I there's really not a great excuse or defense for using Klein as much as they did or Price as much as they did. But, you know, now Matt Price, let's turn forward. Let's stop going over the path. Let's spin it forward. The problem for South Carolina, Aaron, seems to be that, you know, they don't – last year it was that they didn't have their starting pitching lined up. Now they don't have their starting pitching lined up and they don't have their number one – relief pitcher likely for tonight. Do you think South Carolina on Monday in the game one of the finals, where it's freshman Forrest Kumas, who hasn't thrown since regionals, versus ace Hudson Randall, who pitched very well against Texas in the first game of the Caldwell series, do you think how big of a deficit is it for South Carolina, and is Matt Price even available tonight, you think?
It sounds like he's likely to be unavailable. Tanner wouldn't say for sure that he's unavailable, he said he's probably unavailable. I wouldn't be shocked. I think that what they're going to try to do is they're going to go with Kumas as long as it works. And if he struggles early because he's had 21 days off or whatever, then, you know, they could go to Colby Holmes, even though he's – ideally you'd like to have Holmes start game two or three. But, if he gets into trouble, I think that's kind of the contingency plan. After that, I'm sure we're going to see Jose Mata. We're going to see a healthy dose of John Taylor, like we did against Virginia in their second game out here.
Right.
We might see some Tyler Webb as well. But they're going to try to piece it together without Price, I suspect, in this game. They've got Michael Roth probably lined up to come back on Tuesday and 3 days rest. I imagine. I mean, unless maybe if they win the first game, maybe a hold Roth for a potential clincher just to make sure, just to play it safe and give them that extra day rest. I'm not sure. But tough decisions for those guys to make out here. And, of course, The most notable injury that they're dealing with is Christian Walker,
Right.
who sounds like is very questionable, and I'm not expecting him to play because of this wrist injury that he came up with on Friday.
That's the next question for me is, are they really going to play Michael Roth at first base? Wouldn't it make more sense to try to put maybe like one of their corner outfielders at first base and, get Matthews, who's pinch run for them and he's pinch hit, and put him back on the outfield? Put a guy who's in a position player where, or even a Steven Neff, somebody who's played this year and who has hit, and save that potential wear and tear on Michael Roth. I mean, if Michael Roth is at first base, wouldn't you bunt at him every time
Yeah.
if you're Florida, if you're a guy with some speed? I'm looking at you, Cody Dent.
Yeah, exactly. I suspect it's more likely if Walker can't go, you'll probably see Rob Berry move from behind the plate to first base and Brady Thomas catch. But that's if Thomas can catch. I mean, he hasn't been able to in the entire postseason because of these foot injury he's got. So, they're a little bit banged up here. But it's like Chad Holbrook sent out, the assistant coach there. It's like he sent out on Twitter yesterday, adversity is our normal. And it's
That's for
true. They're
sure.
just, I mean, they played the last 2 months of the season before Omaha without Jackie Bradley Jr. And they still got here. And he's their best player overall. So, and now they're without their best hitter. And I think, like you said, the bunt game to me, that's a big part of this. We saw bunts misplayed by both in both games on Friday. It was a big part of both of those games, in the decisive innings especially. And if South Carolina doesn't have its usual first baseman, I have to imagine Florida will try to take advantage of that, no matter whether it's Berry or Roth or whoever at first base.
Let's talk a little bit about Florida. Florida had some significant adversity in the postseason. Brian Johnson with his concussion, Austin Maddox with his foot sprain. Clearly, maybe not as dramatic as South Carolina's, but some adversity nonetheless. Last year UCLA had its pitching all set up, Aaron, and it didn't help them one whit against South Carolina. This year, Florida has its pitching set up. Hudson Randall may not be Gerrit Cole or Trevor Bauer, but he's quite good. But the big separator seems to be that Florida offensively is quite powerful. And the
Yeah.
biggest reason right now seems to be Preston Tucker is a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, you're right. Preston Tucker has just been really locked in. He's got 19 RBIs in the postseason, and I don't think anyone else in the NCAA tournament has more than 12. So, I mean, he's also played, quite a few games, but still, he's come through for them time and time again, and they haven't had Austin Maddox in the middle of their lineup, and they really haven't needed him because they've been able to put Daniel Piggott and Tyler Thompson on the corners. They've both been swinging the bat well. They then moved Tucker to first base, and Tucker's picked up the slack in a big way. So, yeah, this team to me is playing very confidently in all phases. Kevin O'Sullivan said they're playing their best baseball of the year, and now's a good time to be doing that. And they even though they their power stands out, that for sure that's an advantage that they have over South Carolina. This park hasn't played that way. I'm not expecting their power to be a major factor. But, they're still going to hit the ball hard. They're going to hit the ball in the gaps, hit the ball off the wall maybe. And they can beat you a lot of different ways, as we saw against Vanderbilt, where the bunt game, again, loomed large.
I mean, the other issue for me is that if you go around pretty much position by position, Florida has most of those advantages, and especially if Christian Walker's out of it, boy, it really makes a big difference. I mean, I think that would be a giant hole in South Carolina's lineup, and even a bigger hole than Jackie Bradley was, because I know that Walker hasn't been great down the second half of the year, but he's still hitting better. The whole year, and even in the second half, than Jackie Bradley was in the first half, when he
Yeah.
was kind of scuffling. Jackie Bradley looks like he's kind of locked in though, out in Omaha, playing with a ton of confidence. And I thought his swing has looked pretty good in the last two games, especially, Aaron.
Yeah, I think he struggled a little bit on Friday. He didn't really contribute a lot there. Yeah, he had a single and a walk, so he was 1 for 4 or 5. But he before that, the last couple of games, I think he'd had two hits and he was hitting the ball hard. And yeah, he looks good. I mean, he really does. It's great to have him back in the outfield if you're South Carolina. I almost forgot how much fun it is to watch him defend because he just gets the ball so easily, and his reads are so good that he just kind of can glide to balls in the gap because he's gotten such a good first step to it. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, that ball he ran down in the gap the other day on Friday in the right center field gap where he Yeah, he made it look so easy on a really difficult line drive to right center field, and on a big outfield like there is at TD Ameritrade, is playing big. Certainly helps to have a guy like Jackie Bradley out there. Last but not least, Aaron, what are our probable pitching matchups for games 2 and 3? Who is Florida going to go with in game 2? We know South Carolina has Roth possible there. It depends on how what they use for Colby Holmes, what they do with Colby Holmes in the first game after Kuma starts. Who's our likely games 2 and 3 starters for Florida if it gets that far?
Well, Whitson's going to start game two for sure, and he's on full rest. And I thought, again, it was striking. Kevin O'Sullivan said the other day one of the reasons he started Panagiotis on Friday was that there was no chance that he was going to bring back Whitson on Saturday. He hadn't done that all year long. There was absolutely no way they were going to bring him back on less than full rest. And so now they've got him on full rest on Tuesday. And then game three, they haven't said whether they would go with Panagiotis or, Brian Johnson, but I imagine it'd be Panagiotis again.
Boy, you got to think that what you have to wonder about, Aaron, and I know I'm being a little presumptive, but we're both picking Florida in this. I mean, I think that's obvious, right? We're both picking Florida here. I said on the radio the other day, I think if Florida wins this national championship, this could be a dynasty in the making. And South Carolina, if they win the national championship, it's a dynasty made. Back to back. That's a dynasty, especially if they don't lose. Say they go 2-0. What a mind-blowing accomplishment to go back-to-back national championships in two different ballparks with all the injuries they've had, the turnover they had in their pitching rotation. And then on top of that, if they don't lose, to win like 16 straight NCAA tournament games, that would be insane. I mean, I don't think you could write, even Travis Haney couldn't write enough words about South Carolina on that.
I got to tell you too, I can't help but feel like this South Carolina team reminds me of the back-to-back Oregon State teams. And not, certainly this team is better than the 08 or the 07 Oregon State team that went 10 and 14 in the pack and just got hot in the postseason. But the reason they remind me of that team is they just believe they're going to win, and they win. And it doesn't matter, that they shouldn't win, that they're not supposed to win. This is one of those teams where the confidence level, the swagger, the belief, the intangibles just make them elevate to a different level. It's so much like Oregon State in that respect.
I think that's very accurate. And like I said, if they go back to back, whew, it would be amazing. Like I said, that would be a dynasty made. I really think Florida is a dynasty in the making, though, Aaron. And the way they handle pitchers like Carsten Whitson, like Tim Corbin said, you're not supposed to get first round picks like they did. I think it's going to be a sell. It's going to keep on feeding on itself. They have this great pitching depth, and one of the reasons is that Sully's a really good pitching coach and he handles pitchers carefully. And it stands out in contrast to everybody else in college baseball. Not everybody else, but a lot of other teams. It was a contrast to Texas. It's in contrast to what Vanderbilt did the other day with Sonny Gray. Even though Vanderbilt's reputation for handling pitchers is second to none, now I would say it's second to Florida because of what happened Friday. It's clearly a contrast to South Carolina. It's a contrast to most other great programs in college baseball. And I think it's going to help Florida in recruiting, especially if they win. Now, if they don't win, I don't think it'll help as much. So I think it's what happens on the field really matters. But if Florida wins on the field the other day, they're already cleaning up and recruiting every year. Most of these guys are going to be back next year, sophomores and juniors. Do you share that belief that if Florida wins this national championship, this is the first of several under Kevin O'Sullivan? I know that sounds presumptuous, but it really feels like it could be.
I completely agree. I mean, I just think it's a well-oiled machine right now. They're really rolling, and they're one of the only teams. I was starting to look at my eight for Omaha for next year. And they're the only slam dunk for me to be in there next year. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have a lot of holes to fill. They're going to be back, and I think Stanford will be back too. That's the other one that I feel pretty good about because of
I
the young
agree.
talent.
Yep, I agree with Stanford.
I mean, Florida, like you said, for the foreseeable future, I mean, they're beating everybody in that state in recruiting. I mean, sorry, but that's what all the scouts say. If you're Florida State or Miami, you're getting beat pretty bad down there ever since Sully got there. He gets everybody he wants. He got lucky with Whitson, but even if you take Whitson aside, that was a good recruiting class, and we haven't even seen Keenan Kish and Daniel Gibson. Those guys are going to be nice pieces for them down the road.
No doubt. I mean, you don't have to look any further than the fact that he's A, that they're in Omaha back-to-back years, and B, that top recruiters at Miami and Florida State have both been pushed out. They've had coaching staff changes. That tells you all you need to know. The talent on the field tells you all you need to know, but then the other parts too that indicate just how much Florida is dominating recruiting in the state of Florida. And we'll see if winning all the, you know, if these recruiting championships and all that talent, South Carolina has really good talent. They are an outstanding college baseball team that, like you said, gets pushed to another level by their belief. But I think Florida believes. Florida lost there last year. They had that little bit of extra hunger. And we'll see if the talent, the fact that Florida is the more talented team. And like they said in the presser, well, last year they lost the series to South Carolina. And the, they won the series to South Carolina, but then they lost it. And then it was South Carolina that was celebrating, right? I'm mangling this. Help
That's
me
right.
out.
Yeah, last year South Carolina watched as Florida dogpiled in their field when last week in the regular season Florida went in there and won the SEC title by taking that series in Columbia. But at the end of the year, South Carolina had the last laugh here in Omaha, and Florida went 0-2. So this year I think they'd like to reverse that.
And we're both predicting that they will, but I think it'll be a very entertaining College World Series Finals. It's been an entertaining season because of all the new, Aaron. Such a new year for college baseball, so much that happened in the past that you kind of had to throw out the window. I think even a year like that, the fact that this Florida team was our number one preseason, South Carolina was number seven for us in the preseason, I don't think was ever ranked lower than that all
right.
year. We were on these teams. That's a credit to you and the Fit Matrix and all the things that you do. So kudos on another great year covering college baseball. Enjoy the finals. We'll look for your coverage at BaseballAmerica.com.
Thank you, John. It's been a fun year. And, again, like you said, I'm looking forward to this finals. And as much as I'm picking Florida, don't be surprised if South Carolina finds a way again. They do that. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is what they do. They battle. So for Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. We'll see you next time at BaseballAmerica.com. So long, everybody.